Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranexus Universe. This is your host, Doug Kelly. It is Thursday, February 12, 2009. And I'd like to welcome everybody here. Grant's here, my co-host. Hey, Grant.
Hey, everybody. Doug, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing good. Tonight, we've got Mike Jones back with us for another round of regression audios. And before we get into that, just like to make a couple of the standard announcements. If you'd like to ask questions in the chat room, please do. If you'd like to call in and ask questions, we can take those calls as well. The number is there on your screen, and I'll put it in the chat room here in a minute. And you can also use the click to talk button on your computer screen if you have a headset. We'd love to have your questions. We've got segments of two regressions we're going to play. Before we get to that, I just wanted to make a couple of announcements. As it turns out that last week was our one-year anniversary for Paranexus Universe Radio, which is a cool thing. And this week is about the 1 year. In fact, I think today is the 1 year anniversary of Paranexus. Been an exciting year, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank everybody out in the audience that's participated and continues to do so. We really appreciate your support, and it's nice having you part of the family and all the many friends that we've made through Paranexus and all of our members. It's really a great thing.
Yeah, it is. And we have met a lot of people and built a lot of relationships, and we want to continue to do that. So we invite people to come and join us and join in the vision and continue to build Paranexus. I mean, we've come a long way in 1 year, and we have exciting things planned for this year and coming up. So that's a good thing. And tomorrow, you know, is Friday the 13th, and it is not considered to be a lucky day. You know why?
I give why.
Because I was born on Friday the 13th, tomorrow,
oh, so
50 years ago.
The world shifted.
All good luck out of that day.
The world shifted that day. Continents just creaked and rumbled.
Oh, you were there?
No, it's been foretold.
Huh. Can you believe that? The big 5-0, Grant.
Oh, Doug, man, it's just like, you know, you reach the top, and then it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, so that's what I can look forward to after 50?
Yeah, been there, done that. What can I tell
you? That positive attitude, Grant.
I just wanted you to know that you have my support.
You call that support? Gee.
You have my deepest sympathies, Doug.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, there's the aches and the knees and the back and all that stuff. But
Well, it only gets better from this point forward. So
you mean better, like it all goes away?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, thanks, Grant. All right, let's get into our show tonight. We have our very own Mike Jones with us tonight. Mike, of course, is the founder and webmaster of alienabductee.org. He's also Paranexus staff member. He's the technical development coordinator, and he's involved in a lot of projects with Paranexus, and he's also a good friend of ours. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have you here.
Yeah, always. So if you were with us last month, we had our first show involving regressions with Mike, and we played, I don't know, about an hour or so of the first regression that Mike and I did last summer. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to play about two 30-minute segments. The first one, of course, will be regression number two that we did, and then we'll play a 30-minute segment of regression number three. So about two 30-minute segments. And, of course, we'll pause here and there and talk about it, and we'll take your questions, as I mentioned earlier. And if you'd like to call in at some point, you're more than welcome to. You might want to wait for the, in between the two segments, and we'll take the calls if you want to. And anyway, some interesting stuff. I do want to, put the advisory out there that listener, what is the term? Listener discretion is advised, because in one of these segments there is some cussing. However, this Blog Talk Radio show is marked mature, so hopefully you don't have any little ones hanging around. There's not a lot of it, but there is some cussing. So I just wanted to give you a heads up before we get into it. All right.
If you're offended by profanity at this point, turn your earphones down.
And I think that's segment is where that some of that comes
from.
Hey, that's real life, and this is what it's all about.
Yeah, well, as long as they keep it in context, they'll understand why I was saying what I was saying.
Yeah. All right, so what we're going to do, this first one, the sound levels between Mike and I are pretty much evened out. Let me know in the chat room if the volumes need to be up or down, but they should be pretty good. We're just going to start playing this, and we'll pause it here and there and discuss different things. And if you have questions, post them in the chat. Anything either you or Grant want to say before we get going?
I can't think of anything. I'm just excited that we're having Mike back on the show, and we're going to do the second segments because I think our audience will be excited as well.
It's interesting stuff. It really is. Now, this is segment regression number two, and this is going to be about a total of about 30 minutes or so. So, but we'll break in between, and let's start up the segment. Here it goes. Okay, I want you to see yourself sitting in a movie theater. I want you to see the screen go white. When you see yourself there, screen is white. The lights have been raised a little bit. You say yes.
Yes.
Now, in a moment, I want you to automatically will the movie screen to play the next meaningful part of your life, something that has meaning for your life today. When I say 3, 2, 1, the lights will dim, and the screen will begin to play black and white. You are a third party observer. 3, 2, 1. What do you see on the screen?
It's an older house. I'm in the kitchen.
Are you alone or with someone?
No. Grandmother, cousin, and my little sister there.
Just day or night?
Night time.
Whose house is this?
It's my grandmother's.
How old are you?
I think I'm 6.
What year is this?
75, 74, somewhere in there.
What month?
July.
What's going on in the kitchen?
Got a glass of milk.
What time of the day is it?
It's news just went off, and Johnny Carson's coming on.
What happens
after 10? I'm walking back in the living room.
Then what?
Just there's other people here.
Who's there?
short people.
Who else is there with them?
It's just them.
Where are they?
One standing in the doorway of the bedroom. There's two others in the living room.
Where's your grandmother?
She's passed out on the couch.
Where's your sister?
She's asleep next to her.
Where are your cousins?
Shannon's laying on the floor, passed out. Why's everybody asleep?
What time of night is this?
It's late.
Where are you?
I just walked in from the kitchen with my milk. I'm standing at the entrance to the living room, and they're staring at me.
How many?
There's three in the room.
What happens next?
They start coming towards me.
What do you do?
I can't move.
How do you feel?
I'm scared.
You understand that right here and right now, you are safe and sound. Say yes.
Yes.
Now, I want you to go outside of your body and become a third-party observer. You are a man. You are watching. You are not emotionally invested. You are simply reporting the events as they occur. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good. Now, where are you as a man standing?
I'm back in the kitchen.
Are you watching what's unfolding?
Yes.
Okay, tell me what happens next.
Hey there. They're coming up to the boy, and he drops the milk. And they come up and grab his hand. They start leading him out back through the kitchen.
Okay. You are like a ghost there. Are they walking through you or by you?
They walk through me.
Okay, where do they go next?
So going out the back door.
All right, we're going to pause it there for just a moment. Mike, you wanted to comment?
Yeah. A lot of the time, back when I was staying with my grandmother, we still need to go back and do more regressions, but this is evidently happened quite a bit. My grandmother, as you'll find out later, she couldn't talk to the family, and we actually had a lot of conversations together about the situation since nobody in my family would listen to her. But there was a lot of times I remember, for some reason, everybody being passed out, and I was the only one awake, and then losing time at that point. So, you know, it's kind of a significant situation, you know, that it's reoccurred over and over, you know. But like I said, that's something we're going to have to chase as far as doing regressions later. But I thought that was significant.
Yeah, and Sharon asked, was your cousin passed out on the floor?
Yeah, absolutely. There was nobody moving in the room whatsoever. I mean, it was just literally like everybody was put on pause. My little sister at this point, she was born in 1974, and she was a year and a half old. So that's another thing to take in consideration while listening to this, as you'll hear later. But, yeah, it was very, very creepy. For a better word of it.
So Mike, did your grandmother have similar experiences to you? Did she kind of tell you that something like that had happened to her?
No, she had never brought it up before until we actually started sharing the experiences. And I don't know if, you know, as far as her life's concerned, that she really didn't start remembering herself until the, you know, her grandchildren started being involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But the family didn't take too kindly to her trying to explain what happened, you know.
So she had been abducted herself.
Evidently that's, yeah.
There's a little bit of that coming up, I think.
Yeah, there is. So.
Cool. So one other thing, too, just for our listeners, the recording that you're hearing, I did some noise reduction on it, so that's why you're hearing a little bit of the reverb effect and some of the artifacts that appear on noise reduction.
And, you know, the thing to remember, too, folks, is this is real hypnotic regression. This isn't, you know, dramatized. This is something that really happened. So, you know, the quality isn't perfect, but, you know, Doug, you did a good job.
Sounds good. So, anyway, the other thing, too, that you'll notice, and you probably noticed this in the previous show, too, on when we did this last month, that one of the challenges I have with Mike is keeping in the third-person perspective, and you'll see that, because this is a very profound experience that he's revisiting. So
yeah, even listening to the playback kind of bothers me still, so you guys just bear with me. I'll answer questions as they come.
And right. we appreciate you're willing to step up and do that, Mike, because a lot of people, if our audience isn't familiar with it, this is traumatic for folks that have been abducted.
Yes, it is. All right, let's go back to the recording and we'll pause it in a little bit.
Okay, I want you to follow them. You are a man. You are safe. You are sound. You understand this.
Yes.
You are simply recording events as they occur without any emotional involvement. Follow them. Tell me where they go next.
They're going out the back door. It's leading a little boy out into the yard.
What do you see next?
There's a weird glow in the yard.
Where's the glow coming from?
Above.
I want you to look up and tell me what you see.
It's big red glowing disc looking thing.
What's the shape?
It's circular.
What happens to the little boy and the beans next?
They walk out in the yard and just disappear. It's like small flash, and then they're gone.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. You're there with them now. Third party observer. You are a man. You're a reporter. They don't know you're there. You're simply reporting events. What happens? What's happening? Where are you?
Back in that round room again.
What do you see occurring?
Little boy's awake.
Where is he?
He's between two of them.
Keep going. What happens next?
They lead him into another room.
Follow them.
Got to the doorway.
What happens next?
See a table.
this that lead them back to his table.
Okay. Do they put him on the table?
They direct him to sit down.
Does he sit down?
Yes.
What happens next?
Little boy's just watching him.
How many are there in the room with the little boy?
Just the three.
What happens next?
The little boy's asking them who they are.
Do they respond?
No. No.
Do they communicate with the little boy at all?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Wait here.
What happens next?
Well, I'm just walking out. I can't tell. Something's in his hand.
Since you were a third-party observer, you were able to see everything easily without any effort. Look in the being's hand on what you see.
Like a flat piece of metal.
What happens next?
He's placing it on the boy's leg.
What part of the boy's leg?
He's pulling it against his right shin.
On the inside or the outside or the front?
Kind of on the flat of the front shin.
What happens next?
Little boy's just watching.
It's the little boy
keeps asking. Keeps asking, who are they? They're not answering him though.
What happens next?
A little piece of metal looks like it's glowing almost.
How is the little boy dressed?
He's dressed in his shorts and a t-shirt.
Is he wearing shoes?
Yeah.
What happens next?
Sit there. I can't tell what they're doing. It's like they're checking him. I can't. It's like they're examining him for some reason.
His shin or his entire body?
His entire body.
Is he still sitting?
Yes.
What happens next?
Start walking him back to where we came from.
Continue.
He walks. Just walks with him. It's strange.
Okay, what happens next?
They walk back in that round room.
How long are they in the round room?
Just a few seconds.
What happens next?
That's it. They're gone. It's just...
Okay. Okay. It's
flash of light, they're gone.
I want you to follow them there instantly. 3, 2, 1. Now you're back where they went. Where do you see them?
We're back at the property.
How far from the house?
About an acre.
What happens next?
My grandmother's outside.
What is she doing?
She's standing there.
Did she say anything?
No. There's others around.
Who are they?
It's little people.
How many are around?
I see 4.
Where are they standing?
2 of them are next to my grandmother. I can't tell what the others are doing. They're off to the side.
How many accompanied the little boy back to the property?
Just 2.
What happens next?
They walked the little boy to the grandmother. And
what happens next?
They tell the little boy they're going to be back.
How long is it until they come back from this time?
A few months.
What happens next?
They leave. They leave the little boy and the grandmother in the yard, and then they leave.
What happens next?
I was watching the craft just takes off straight up. Yeah, I feel my grandmother's hand.
What do you see?
My grandmother's face.
Tell me about it. Describe it.
She looked worried.
Did she watch the craft go up?
Yeah.
Was she awake the whole time?
I don't think so.
When did she wake up?
After they took off.
What happens next?
She asked me if I was okay.
What did you say?
Yeah, I'm okay. I asked her who they were. She said she didn't know. She guessed it was star people.
What happens next?
We're watching a red light. Way, way, way up in the air. It just takes off. I mean, it's fast. I hear my grandmother. She said, "Oh my God, the baby."
Who is she referring to?
My little sister.
How old is your little sister?
1.
Where's your little sister now at this point?
She's back at the house.
What happens next with you and your grandma?
We just run back to the house.
And then what?
my cousins asleep. My little sister's okay.
What's your little sister doing?
She's asleep. She's still on the couch.
Anyone else there?
Just my cousin.
What happens next?
My grandmother tells me to go in the closet to get a towel.
Why?
Gotta clean up the milk. There's milk all over the floor.
Did you clean up the milk?
Yeah, well, kinda.
Okay, what happens next?
Grandmother starts coffee.
Time of the day or night is this approximately?
We're in the kitchen.
It's around 4 o'clock.
I think it's 12:30.
Okay, what happens next?
Me and Grandma sit at the table. Her hands are shaking.
Why are her hands shaking?
I think she's nervous.
Did she say anything?
No, not really. She just asked me if I'm okay.
Now, I want you to look down at your right shin. Are there any marks on it?
No.
Are there any marks anywhere on your body as a result of this visit?
I don't see anything.
What happens next?
We stay up. Just talk. She tells me that she's going to tell Mom tomorrow. She told me that I needed to be quiet and not tell anybody else, though.
What happens next?
Go back in another room.
What do you do then?
Oh, static on the TV, so I go shut it off. She's sitting there drinking coffee.
How is she feeling?
I can't tell. She's just... staring, drinking coffee.
What do you do next?
I go over and hug her. She tells me I need to go lay down and get some sleep.
What do you do next?
Lay down on the floor in front of her.
Go to sleep?
Yeah.
Is there anything else meaningful from this event to your life today?
One dead body believed my grandmother.
Clarify that.
We caught up. Got up the next morning. My mom's there. My grandmother starts telling her what happened to her. And my mom is making fun of her. Why's my mom doing that?
What did your mom say?
She told my grandmother that she was acting crazy and she shouldn't be saying things like that in front of the children.
Who else was there?
was the kids my grandmother babysit. But they're playing, and I'm standing there with grandma. Why is my mom being mean?
Is your mom afraid?
I don't know. She's just...
What happens
now? I don't know. My mom tells my grandmother that she has to go. That she grasps my hand kind of hard. She kisses grandma. And I hug grandma too. And we gotta go. Mom wants to go for some reason.
What happens next?
We get in the car and I start telling mom that it was real. It really happened. And my mom tells me to shut up. And then don't talk like that because I'm not crazy. Start crying. It happened.
What happens next?
We're going back to the house.
Is there anything else that comes of it?
Yeah. Mom talks to Dad about it when he gets home. She tells Dad that Grandma's crazy.
You're safe and sound and unemotional about this. You're just reporting events for future benefit. All right. Is your grandmother your mother's mother or your father's mother?
Mom's.
What does your dad say?
He doesn't really kind of listen to my mom. He's just, he don't know either way.
Does he discuss it with you?
No, I think it kind of confused him.
What happened after that?
Mom told me I can't talk about it anymore.
Okay. In a moment, I'm going to count from 3 to 1. I want you to find yourself in your peaceful place, safe and sound. 3, 2, 1. Peaceful place. Instantly go there. You're happy. You're safe. You're sound. Completely different environment. Where are you at?
I don't feel much, right?
How do you feel?
So good. Kind of tired.
Okay. In a moment, I'm going to count from 3 to 1 again. And when I do, you will instantly have access to the answers to the questions I ask. You draw universal knowledge, the archives of your mind. 3, 2, 1. Now, you've dialed in to the archives of your mind on any trips that you have taken with these little men. Has your mother ever been present with you?
No.
Has your grandmother ever been present with you?
Yes.
Has anyone else ever been present with you?
There's other people.
How many different people have been present on trips with the little men?
One or two every time I was older.
Are they both men and women? four children.
That depends on what time.
Have you seen men?
Yes.
Have you seen women?
Yes.
Have you seen other children?
Yes.
Have you seen any other beings in addition to the little men or the praying mantis type beings?
No.
I want you to dial in now again, deeper into the archives of your mind. From your entire realm of experiences, there's one important lesson at least that you have learned from all this, even if it's in your subconscious mind, in the archives of your mind. When I say 3, 2, 1, you'll instantly know what that is. You'll be able to relate it. 3, 2, 1. What is the significant lesson, the meaning from all of these visits by these star people?
We're not alone. It's not just humans. It's not just us.
Why did they abduct you?
I'm not sure.
In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And as I do, you're going to feel rested, just like you had a whole night's sleep, good sleep, restful sleep. You'll have an incredible sense of wholesome well-being. You will awaken refreshed, happy, sound, safe, and secure. All right. That is the end of the first segment that we're playing tonight. We're back live now. Mike, how did that listening to it again make you feel?
I'm still reliving, coming to terms with how my mom reacted, to be quite honest. But outside of that, yeah, it bothers me. On a pretty deep level. So this is one of the things, you know, I talk about, and in my forum, is you get into separation crisis with your family because of the disbelief. You'll get into situations where even if your own relatives experience it, that they're going to fall into total denial because it's something they can't wrap their brains around. You know, I've really been hard on my mom for a very long time. And this is one of those moments, you know, everybody has moments in your life that you realize why you reacted the way you did. And then having this regression actually, I think, brought up the very instant that I made the decision. And I wasn't happy with my mother and the way she treated my grandmother. You know, it's just the disrespect and just the total, you know, denial. That caused a lot of separation issues between me and my mother over the years. You know, like now, you know, we're best of friends, and I talk to her daily, and we're, you know, everything's, you know, patched. But the point is, a lot of abductees out there do go through this. This is part of the situation, you know, and that's one of the things that I try to tell the others about when I get the chance through the forum, you know. And of course, you know, everybody has to step up to the plate and learn. You know, I can't just explain to somebody how it is. You know, if they're experiencing it, they have to. What'd be the word for it? But they'd have to get they have to find a necessity of curing themselves. I think that would be the best way, and to explain it. It's like Sharon asked me a question. Do you ever talk to your mother about the abductions? I've tried different points in my life to talk to her about aliens, you know, just bringing up the subject about UFOs. And even to this day, if she sees me watching a UFO show on TV or anything else, she's the same person she was back then, you know. She's just like, you know, why are you watching that? Or she's making fun of me. And I really do think on a deep level for her, it's more denial. You know, it has nothing to do with her being mean. You know, I wrote an article about...
doesn't fit into her frame of reference, right?
Right. Her frame of reality is her frame of reality. I can't sit there and change her. She's the one that has to make the decision to want to look. And that's like I said, that's one of the things I try teaching. It's really disturbing. I mean, it's you know, this situation really can destroy a family in a heartbeat. It's amazing.
The real difficulty lies in the fact that if you're an abductee, you're very reluctant to share it with anybody, especially if as a child you experienced what you did.
Right.
Where, you know, your mother, you have two people that you really love and care about a lot, your grandma and your mother, and, you know, there's a conflict between the two of them. So as a little kid, how are you going to feel?
Well, and that's the other
thing. It's going to be tough.
Well, you know, my grandmother's passed away. She passed away several years back, but... the thing of it is during that time period, I actually bonded with my grandmother instead of my mom, as far as who I would trust to tell something to. My mom literally created a rift as far as trust between us just by that sheer moment in my life. And, you know, it's, you know, you're taught, when you're a little kid, you're taught to tell the truth about everything. And then when you get that kind of reaction from a parental figure, all of a sudden, all the rules go out the door. You know, who you trust, who you're going to tell the truth to, things like that. You know, and
especially if you're telling the truth.
Exactly. You know, and you know, Dad, God bless him. You know, he sit there and he never did make any judgments about anything. You know, he's been the I guess the thing that's really bonded my family over the years, and we've got back to normal. So, it's pretty cool.
And your grandmother's not still living, right?
No, not at all. She passed away from pancreatic cancer before they actually knew how to cure it, and that was back in the late 80s. So, I wish she was here. I mean, this would be something that she'd actually be involved with. You know, that's the thing. She was really ahead of her time as far as open thinking. You know, most women back in the 70s, they were grandmother types. We're still stuck in the 50s, you know, and she was well ahead of her time, you know, even for women nowadays, I think, as far as her open-mindedness.
Now, let me ask you this question. Does your mother, because this is your mother's mother, your grandmother that you're talking about, does your mother have any siblings?
Actually, she does. She has a brother and a sister.
Okay. So, to your knowledge, your mother has not been abducted. Is that correct?
No. I really sincerely don't think so. I mean, not even my dad either. Now, as far as my sister's concerned, I'm not sure. I know she is terrified to even talk about the subject. You know, she doesn't like ghosts or anything having to do with the paranormal whatsoever. You know, it's she almost reacts like a person that has been shell-shocked, you know, in the military. The way she, you know, reacts about it. So.
What about your mother's siblings?
Her sister is pretty open-minded, and her uncle, or excuse my uncle, her brother is. He's, you know, in the church and everything, so he really doesn't talk about it.
Either one of them been abducted?
I don't think so. I mean, they really had never talked about it, so. But now, as far as my cousins are concerned, I've talked to them on two occasions, and now this would be my mom's sister and her children I've talked to, and they've told me of two different experiences of actually having six-foot-tall reptilian-type things in the house, and that was years ago, though, when I was actually kind of coming to terms with it when I was a teenager. You know, and that's many years ago, but I've been out of contact with those people for quite a while. You know, I every once in a while see them.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate the questions in the chat room. Sharon also posed, could your mother have been programmed to make you be quiet about it? by the aliens.
You can't ever tell. That could be a possibility. You know, not being abducted doesn't mean you don't come in contact with them. There's been a couple of occasions where I've actually been at work and had it happen. I've been at the residence I used to live at. We had a number of people over, and all of us were pretty much turned off at one point and woke up, even though I don't remember all of them being abducted. I remember a couple of us, but, you know, we're talking like six to eight people here that were turned off, and we all woke up laying on the ground, you know. So, you know, you can't ever tell. The possibility is there, you know. That's you can't ever tell.
All right. We're going to move on to the next segment here in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to play a 30-minute segment from session number 3. And so if you'll hang tough with us just for a few, we'll be right back.
Where will you find a professional association of paranormal researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where can you get research training, share data, and network with other researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where will you find a set of international standards for paranormal research groups?
Paranexus.org.
Paranexus is a global professional association of progressive paranormal investigators, parapsychologists, cryptozoologists, ufologists, and psychically gifted individuals focused on understanding the human condition through the scientific study of paranormal and psychical phenomena.
Paranexus.org.
A place to learn, a place to share, a place to network, a place to come together. Join us now at Paranexus.org.
¶¶ In the night, in the shadows, in the sky, it's Paranexus Universe.
And welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Paranexus Universe. This is Doug Kelly, your host, here along with Grant Rubendunce, my good friend and co-host. Hey, Grant.
Hey, great and very interesting show tonight with Mike's regression. I hope the audience is enjoying as much as I am.
Yeah, welcome back, Mike.
Hi, guys.
We have Mike Jones on. He is an alien abductee. He is the founder, webmaster of alienabductee.org, as well as a Paranexus staff member in charge of technical development, and so it's always good to have him on the show. We're taking your questions in the chat room if you'd like to ask them, or if you'd like to call in probably after this segment, you're more than welcome to do that. The numbers are on your screen. You can also use the click to talk button on your screen if you have a headset for your computer. We went through the second regression that Mike and I did in the first part of this show. So we did about a 30-minute segment there. This next segment now is, again, about another 30 or so minute segment. This is from regression number 3 that we've done. And, you know, you yield a few more details and things of that nature. Now, just an FYI, I had mentioned this at the outset of the show, but I'm going to repeat it. This is a listener discretion advisory. In this next segment, there is a couple of areas where some cuss words are used. So if you have sensitive ears, I'm just giving you a heads up. This show is marked mature on Blog Talk Radio for instances such as this. And so if you have little kids listening, you know, in the background or something, you may not want them to hear some of this stuff anyway. So with that, there's a question in the chat room. I guess you could answer that in the chat room too, heritage.
Yes, German-Irish Cherokee. My grandmother was half Cherokee, half Irish, and I think that's the reason why she referenced him as Star People. I think that's actually folklore, you know, involving that. Now, as far as the regression we're fixed to play back, this had just happened last year, guys. So just understand this is not when I'm a kid. This is when I'm an adult. That's more than likely why you're hearing the cussing, because, you know, when you're being regressed, you're in the mindset of that age that you're taken back to. So, you know, cussing at 6 years of age is unheard of, and that's probably why I never did. Whereas this is actually where I'm 40 years old or 41.
Michael was a good little boy, and he didn't need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And folks, I want to assure you, he very rarely even curses now.
Yeah.
He never uses any profanity.
Never.
He is a virtual paragon of virtue. Something along those lines.
Well, it depends on the subject, right, guys?
He's virtuous and very virtuous.
And there is one question in the chat room that's killing me, and I wonder if you have the answer, the square root of pi?
I'm not going to repeat that number.
That was a good one, Roll. All right. Now, this segment, we'll begin. The volumes are a little bit different on this segment. There is some music in the background. Again, I've taken it through the noise reduction, so you'll hear a little bit of that. But again, the volumes between Mike and I on this segment are a little bit different, and I've tried to even them out as much as I could. So if you're having a hard time hearing it or you need me to turn it up or something, just let me know in the chat room, and I'll be happy to do that. So let's begin with this segment.
3, 2, 1, sleep. Deeper, deepest. You're standing in front of these two doors. They're beautiful doors. You've been here before, and you know the drill. You simply will them to open, and they open for you, because you are the only one who can open these doors. Therefore, you are always in control. You and only you. I want you to will those doors open. I want you to step inside, and when you do, I want you to say yes.
Yes.
I want you to look around. I want you to note what you see. And I want you to describe to me what you see.
Big old bookcases.
Yes.
Gigantic rhythm.
Very good. Yes, there's a particular book on a particular shelf that gives you information that you want right here and now. And it's about the last time you saw the star people, the greys. I want you to walk along until you're drawn to the book, specific book on a specific shelf. I want you to walk along, and when you are drawn to it, I want you to take that book off the shelf and set it on the table in front of you. In this book, you will have a date, a day, a time. The last time you saw the greys, they appeared. And it will be easy for you to see the date, the time, the day. Walk along. When you have found the book and put it on the table in front of you, say yes.
Yes.
Now, this particular book is simply a book of that event. And on the cover of this book is a title, The Last Time I Saw the Grave. And on the cover of this book is a date, time. I want you to look at it and read what it says.
May 14th. Tuesday.
What year?
2008.
And what was the time?
2:45 a.m.
Now, I want you to imagine yourself just as you are right there in the arc of your mind. This is a safe and secure place that no one else can enter. Only you. It is your place, your time, you are in full control. Inside the archives of your mind is a little mini theater. I want you to take that book, and I want you to find yourself to this mini theater inside the archives of your mind, and I want you to sit down in front of the screen, as big as you want, as small as you want. When you find yourself sitting in front of the screen, I want you to say yes.
Yes.
Now, to your right, there is a magical device. Looks like a table. And I want you to take that book that you brought with you, and I want you to set it on this table, and when you do, you are going to see the events from that book appear on the screen. And I remind you, you are a third party. You are watching this from a distance. You are unemotionally attached. You are not involved. You are simply a reporter reporting events. Do you understand?
Yes.
Put the book on the table, and I want you to see the screen flicker to life. I want you to tell me what you see.
I'm lying on the couch.
What are you doing on the couch? Are you awake or asleep?
I'm asleep.
What happens next?
See one of them come into the room.
How do you know one came into the room if you were asleep? Are you awake at this point?
Yeah.
What woke you up?
The door opening.
Who opened the door?
The old man.
Which door did he open?
Back door.
He walked in the back door?
Yeah.
Where did he go from that time?
He's coming up to me.
And what are you thinking as you see him come up to you?
Scares me.
Okay.
What are you doing here?
It scares me or startles me. What happens next?
He reaches out and grabs my arm.
What do you do?
I try to pull back and I can't.
What are you thinking at this point?
Cussing.
You're cussing?
Cussing.
What are you saying?
Shit.
Are you saying this out loud or thinking it?
I can't tell.
What do you do next or say next?
Leave me alone.
What happens next?
He's leaving me out the back door.
Okay. You're watching this on a screen. You are uninvolved. You are not emotionally attached. You are simply a third party watching this. As you see the scene on the screen, you see this little man leading you out the back door. Where does he take you?
The guy on the back deck and walking down the steps.
Are you awake or asleep?
Awake.
What's going through your mind?
Not again.
Do you resist?
I'm trying to.
What happens next?
Walk into the front yard.
You walk around the house?
Yes.
You're in the front yard, you're watching this on the screen now as a reporter. What happens next?
There's others in the yard. It's like they're waiting on us.
How many?
Two others.
Are they the same as one man?
Yeah.
What happens next?
We're standing together and I see a flash of light.
Watching this on the screen. What happens next?
I'm in that room again.
What room?
The round one.
Have you been in this room before?
Yes.
How many times?
More than a dozen. I can't really remember.
Okay. Continue. What happens next? Who else is in the room with you?
Just the other three.
What happens next?
They're walking me. Welcome to the other room, the observation room, I guess.
You're watching this on the screen. You're watching yourself walking into the other room. You're uninvolved emotionally. As you're watching this on a screen, giving me the play-by-play. What happens next?
I sit down at that table again.
And then what?
They asked me why I resist.
What do you say?
I don't want to be here.
Can you?
One of them tells me it's for my own good. It can't be for my own good. It scares me so much.
Did he explain why it's for your own good?
No.
Did you ask?
No, I wanted to know what they were doing and why. Why do they keep bothering me?
Did they give you any more information?
No.
What happens next?
They're shining something in my eyes.
What is it?
I see light. Real bright light.
What happened there?
I don't.
Sorry.
All right, we're live again. I just wanted to pause it for just a moment and address some of the questions in the chat room up to this point, just for the purposes of the archive. I know Mike's been answering some of them in the chat room. One of the questions from Johnny in Sarasota, to the best of your knowledge, Mike, do these events usually occur around the same time of the day? You there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Yeah, as far as the regressions were concerned, those were nighttime events. Doug and I still have to go back and do more regressions to explore the times they did happen during the daytime. I know of three of them. I'm pretty sure there's more than that, though. I mean, a lot of the memories I have are because of emotional content. And that's the thing people have to realize. I only have bits and pieces of this before we do the regressions. You know, like, for instance, the one we're listening to right now, the only thing that I actually remembered out of the entire situation happens at the end of the regression, where I see the guy dropping me off, and I actually break free for a split instant. And that's the only thing I could actually remember was seeing the guy in my room, you know. A lot of the situations that's happened to me in the past are the exact same way, you know. It's really confusing, you know. That's the bad part of it. It's you know, you only have pieces of memory, and you can't. There's no timeline to it, so you can't really piece it together. You know, most of the time when you have tragic things happen, it goes from point A to point B, and you know exactly what caused everything, so you're able to reconcile it. Whereas this situation, you only have little brief flashes of memory, and they're coming from nowhere. You don't have any references of why or where it came from, you know, and so you stay confused, you know. And the thing of it is,
so everything is intentionally disjointed, so that, I mean, if you want to, like, as you recall, Mike, a lot of times we've talked with Dr. David Jacobs and Daryl Sims, and, you know, Doug has also, you know, talked about this extensively, the fact that, you know, your memories are either wiped or implant of the real memories, false memories are put there. Not
right.
Only to confuse, but to misdirect. and to keep you from remembering all of it. And it's usually, you know, not until a person undergoes hypnosis or hypnotic regression that they can sometimes remember these things. So, yeah, it's got to be very difficult for abductees, because when these little bits and pieces come up, it's got to be very disconcerting, because your mind wants to put them in some sort of sink or something.
Right.
That makes sense. So.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people will have these kind of memories and then just forget about them because they don't have it. It's not consistently, there's no timeline involved. And the only time you do start really realizing that this stuff's going on is after a while it starts building up and building up and building up. And then all of a sudden you've got this entire briefcase full of fragmented memories and they all match. And then that's when you start understanding that something else has really happened.
Well, it's got to be very difficult for abductees, too, because if you are experiencing this, it completely contradicts everybody's concept of what constitutes reality.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the other thing. You know, it totally attacks your sense of reality on every level. I mean, all the way down to your religious beliefs, to how you view reality, how you interact with people. And, you know, it's a paradigm shift. It really is.
Monumental proportions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that's, you know, I talked to Grant off air while ago, and I was talking about, you know, how the regressions have been helping me. But, you know, and they are cathartic. They really are. But, you know, it still bothers me. Just listening to the playback bothers me, because I'm actually reliving what I'm hearing, you know, again, and I keep reliving it every time I listen to these things, you know. And I don't make a habit out of listening to these playbacks. Last time I listened to this particular one was the day after Doug and I had done it. You know, other than that, I've not even looked it up again, you know.
But, you know, Mike, the bottom line is that, you know, by you having the courage to stand up here and talk about it on the radio show, you're helping other folks out there that may be struggling with the same internal conflicts that you've had in regards to this, or for the person who doesn't feel that they can talk to anybody about it, you know, you're setting an example for them by at least trying to work your way through it. And most folks, they might think that, you know what, this is such a crazy thing that's happened to me, I can't possibly be right. And if I talk about it more, people are going to think I'm even more wacky, and they're not going to want to have anything to do with me.
Oh.
So the best thing to do is suppress it.
Right. Well, like,
repress it, don't talk about it, don't deal with it. And what's going to happen is it'll come out one way or another. Maybe they've got ulcers, you know, maybe they've got they've got insomnia, but it's going to come out one way or another because you're going to have to deal with it.
Right. Your body will react to it if you don't deal with it. And that's exactly right. The other thing, you know, like for me, for instance, I literally stayed a hermit as far as this stuff's concerned, and for years. I mean, until I hit 40 years old. You know, when I hit the age of 40, 41, I was just like, you know, the hell with this. You know, who am I, you know, why am I worried anymore? You know, I don't have anybody that I need to worry about impressing. You know, the biggest issue, I think, for an abductee that they need to realize is you're trying to cure yourself of the disjointedness of it. You know, you socially disconnect from the rest of society because of the fear, and it's insane. The whole entire...
Well, you know, the real problem with that is, Mike, mm-hmm. is that, as you well know, that you can't cure yourself. And
that's
the best
right.
thing about it is that one of the things that Mike offers... through his website is the ability to, or the opportunity, let me put it that way, to talk with people so that people who have been abducted can kind of converse, can kind of relate, and encourage each other to work through it. So,
well, I want to reiterate. Yeah, it is important, and I want to reiterate something Grant just said. It's an opportunity. The thing everybody who's an abductee out there needs to understand is you have to make the choice. Nobody's going to come up and cure you. Nobody's going to bring the magic pill up. You have to decide to take the step and do it yourself. And it's a very frightening prospect after you've dealt with years of this crap. And, you know, that's the important thing here. You know, you need to understand that you are in full control of yourself. You are the one that made the decision to pull back and draw back into the shell, and now you have to make the decision to get on with your life and push forward and take the first step. And, you know, until you do that, it just keeps continuing, you know. I for myself, you know, I can actually tell you my quality of life has gone up tremendously from the moment I started what I'm doing now. You know, I'm not recommending everybody go out and, you know, get a website, do this stuff. The main thing I'm recommending here is put your foot out and take the first step and admit that this has been happening, if it has been happening to you, and not to be scared. You know, it's just the same as these poor people out here that have had horrible things happen to them, and they don't want to talk about it. But what ends up happening years later is it actually starts either physically or mentally affecting them, or both, and it's detrimental, you know. And
go ahead, finish your thought.
That was it. That was pretty much it.
You know, what you're talking about here is taking a risk, and this brings up the whole concept of what is. And if we all look at our lives, you know, there are aspects, what is, and there's only one thing, or one person rather, who can change what is about each of us, and that's us. And that's generally speaking. Now, applying that to the abductee scenario, what is. And the thing that a lot of folks who are genuine abductees may not realize or appreciate is that, you know, the day is going to come for reconciliation in one way or another. And that could be on your deathbed, looking back over your life. Will you have a bad case of the if-onlys, the woulda, coulda, shouldas, might-have-beens, and all that? At some point, it can be cathartic. It can be a good step to at least accept what's going on to a point, and then seeing what we can do about it, because that's what we're trying to do with this. You know, that's what all of the researchers are trying to do. What can we do about this? If these abductions are in fact true, which they seem to be, what, you know, we're at war, because this is a heinous violation of boundaries, which I've said many times. And so we need to figure out what we're going to do about this. Now,
how can we fight back?
Yeah, and let's save some of the more of the dialogue for the end, but let me just hit couple of other questions real quick that came up in the chat room concerning what we've heard so far. And one of them was from Sharon on the same ship every time. Was this this room that you've always seen, is it the same ship, or is it just a similar thing?
I think it's more of a similar thing, surely. I mean, I can't say that they're not able to, you know, I don't know that time even has anything to do with who they are. You know, they may not have the same issues we do. You know, we can't travel through time. Evidently, they don't seem to have any concept of time. So maybe it is the same ship. Now, considering the way technology is, you know, it could be the same configuration. You know, it's the same as if you get on a jet,
mm-hmm.
You know, the configuration inside a jet are pretty much the same as far as jets are concerned. You know, so, you know, it may have been another ship. You can't really tell.
Now, another question from Johnny in Sarasota. Mike, you mentioned religious beliefs. Have your experiences affected that aspect, if you don't mind?
Oh God, yeah. If anything, I can actually say with all honesty, it's opened up my awareness of how big things really are. You know, I was brought up a Southern Baptist, and I have nothing against people and their belief systems, but for me, the situation I'm in, my religion did not offer me any solutions. So in essence, what it did to me, it didn't totally make me disregard the fact that there's probably a creator out there. I still have that belief. But as far as what I'm being told is, you know, reality by what I was brought up with, that's been thrown out the door. You know, that's the thing here. It's, you know, I've talked about this. You know, it's one thing, you know, people can sit there and say, and this is the best way to put it, I can sit there and logically say, okay, I know there's other planets out there. I know there's other, you know, solar systems and then inhabitable planets. So surely there's other people in the you know, universe, right? And now that's a logical deduction. For me, I don't get that. I got to stand in front of, you know, these guys. I've been there, and I know. There's a difference between knowing and a logical deduction. I know there's other people in the universe. I know that they're not all up to doing good, you know. And so, you know, when I'm sitting there praying to God for him to make this shit stop, and it's not stopping, all of a sudden it produces a conundrum, you know, and what am I supposed to do then, you know? So, yeah, your belief systems get attacked pretty severely.
All right. Real quick, do you remember seeing anything up at the ceiling during
In the observation room,
mm-hmm.
per se? It looked like a slate-colored ceiling. It's metallic.
All right.
You know, and it's pretty dark in the room, actually, so it's kind of hard to tell details.
All right, let's go back to the recording. We've got about 15 or so minutes left of it, and then we'll take some more of your questions.
Hey, Doug, just a quick word before we go back. You know, Mike alludes to a paradigm shift, and you know what? Those of us who have already taken that step in the sense that we've opened up our minds to the fact that it's not all sugar-coated and, you know, we've kind of stepped out of the matrix. It's a good thing. It can be a very good thing. And anytime you change or with the fall of a paradigm comes a little bit of fear, but also some excitement.
Okay, good. All right, just a quick reminder on a listener discretion advisory. There is some cussing in this segment, so be aware of that. Let's go back to the segment.
Go ahead.
They're checking my body for some reason.
What parts of your body do they check?
Checking my arms. Checking my legs, my body, my torso.
Are they using their hands, instrument, or how are they checking?
They're like poking at me, checking my muscles and stuff. The one that had the light in his hand, he's going across the room now.
Who else is with you now?
The other two.
Are they carrying out the examination?
One of them is.
Have they ever told you their names?
No.
Are they the same or different ones that you've seen before?
It's hard to tell. They don't look exactly the same, but they are.
What happens next?
Let's come back over with a looks like a hypodermic. The hell is that?
You said anything.
Scared the shit out of me. What the fuck is that?
What happens next?
Sticking me on top of my hand.
Which hand?
My right hand.
Where specifically in your hand do they insert the needle?
Right above my wrist. I can feel it between the bones.
What are they injecting you with?
I don't. Get it the fuck out of me, though. Oh, Jesus.
I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to lift the book off the table that's sitting next to you. You're in the archives of your mind. Lift it off the table, the screen goes blank, take a deep breath. And mentally transport yourself to your peaceful place. 3, 2, 1, you're there. Take a deep breath. Everything's fine. Safe, you're sound, secure. At no time can anything harm you. No time in this state will you be subjected to anything that's harmful. Where are you at now?
I'm in my treehouse.
I want you to take another deep breath. Relax. And as you do, you find it easy to go even deeper in relaxation. Focus on the music, the waves, and the fact that you are safe and sound. Anytime you are watching the screen, you understand on a profound level that you are safe and sound and secure, and that whatever you're watching has no effect on you presently. You are simply watching. In a moment, I'm going to count 3, 2, 1, and I want you to find yourself back in the archives of your mind, sitting in front of that screen, holding the book. 3, 2, 1. Here you are in front of the screen with the book in your hand. When you lay it back down on the table, the movie is going to pick up where it left off. You are going to be unemotional. You are going to not be attached emotionally. Unattached emotionally. You are not reliving it. You are simply watching it and recording. When you understand this on a profound level, say yes.
Yes.
Lay the book back down on the table and allow the movie to resume. I want you to describe what happens next. It could be something that's said or done.
I want to know what they put in me.
Did you ask?
Yeah. It tells me it's necessary.
Why?
It's for my health.
Why?
You don't answer. It's an answer. That's all he tells me. God, I look scared.
What happens next?
Someone that was off to my left is sitting there. I can hear him in my head for some reason.
What's he saying?
So I need to calm down and start forgetting what happened. So I won't remember anymore.
Or what?
Tell them it's not going to work.
What did they say?
They don't respond. They'll just keep telling me over and over to forget.
What happens next?
They're leading me back to the room. Well, round room.
When you get back to the round room and you see yourself, I want you to freeze frame the screen and I want you to tell me how many beings are with you in the round room.
It's just the one that was on my left.
It's just the same one that you saw in the room initially when you were on the couch.
Yes.
I want you to look around the round room and describe it.
There's panels all over the walls. They're not exactly square, but they're like 1 foot panels. They look like the iridescent, glowing looking metal. The floor looks like metal.
What's on the panels?
It looks like emitters. I don't know. They cover all the walls, so.
Is the room curved at the floor or square at the floor?
The wall comes down, kind of slants in a little bit, not much. It's not a real hard angle.
What about the ceiling?
It's rounded.
What's the dimensions of this room?
It's about 7 foot across. I don't see anything other than the panels in the room, though.
How tall? How high? High ceiling on the floor.
Looks like it's about 7 or 8 foot tall.
Okay, I want you to resume the movie now. I want you to tell me what happens next.
We're back on my back deck.
Are you alone or with someone?
I'm with that gray.
What happens next?
He walks me back in the house. Guides me back to the couch. And I can hear him telling me to lay down.
Do you say anything during this time at all?
Yeah. I'm trying real hard to... trying real hard to get to him.
How so?
I'm getting pissed. Still pissed off that I got stuck in the freaking hand.
What happened there?
Starts to head back out the door. I'm free. I'm fucking free. Oh shit. Damn it.
You see what's happening.
I broke free for a minute. He turned around and he pointed something at me.
I want you to freeze the frame on the screen now. With him pointing something at you, I want you to focus in on it, on what it is.
I can only see the end of it.
Describe it.
Some kind of metallic tube. It's not really a tube. It looks... almost looks like a laser pen, but it's not a laser pen.
Does it have any lights on?
Just a flash that came out of the end that knocked me backward.
Where were you at when it knocked you backward?
I was coming up off the couch. I just broke free and I was going to strangle the bastard. I want to know what the fuck's going on.
And after he pointed that thing, what happened?
Saw a bright flash of light, and then my body just relaxed, and I couldn't move again. I fell backward.
What happened next?
I can only see the ceiling. I hear the door open. Door's just shut.
Is there anybody else in the house with you?
My parents, but they're on the other side of the house.
I want you to look around. But first, I want you to tell me what happens next.
Start going to sleep.
And you look around and you see a clock anywhere. And you tell the time.
It's like I could see the clock before I got knocked back down.
Rewind the movie back to that point and look at the clock. What it says.
It's like 5 to 3.
Okay. Yeah. You start going back to sleep, resume the movie. What happens next?
I wake up in the morning. Look at my wrist, sore.
You feel
like a... It's like a red mark on my wrist.
How big?
About the size of a pencil lead.
How did your wrist feel?
I feel like somebody's hit it with a hammer.
How long does the pain remain?
Gotta work. After lunch or so, kind of goes away. It's still sore, but it didn't hurt him like it was.
When does the pain completely disappear?
Couple of days.
What time in the morning do you wake up after this event?
5:30. The alarm goes off.
All right. I want you to take a deep breath.
Okay. We're back live. That was the end of that segment. After this piece that you just heard, I brought Mike out of the... regression. So we were just listening to a 30-minute segment or so of the third regression that we did. Now, this event that Mike was describing, and it occurred last May 2008, and some interesting things. Any comments, Mike? And before you comment, Mike, I just want to remind everybody, we've got about 15 minutes left in the show. So if you have any questions, post them in the chat room. If you want to call in, that's fine. I'll let you ask your question, and then we'll have you listen on the air. Any comments, Mike?
Yeah, just for everybody's reference, I'd already had a divorce with my wife and moved in with my parents for a short time. The one thing that I want to mention here, that there is no safe place to go. I mean, you know, I have moved around quite a bit in my lifetime just trying to find a secluded place where they won't bother me. And that's one thing that I don't have an advantage of. You know, there's, you know, even where I'm living at now, stuff still happens. And as far as my wife's concerned, I don't think she was ever abducted. But as far as my attitude, I guess, towards life and everything, before I started really attacking this situation I'm dealing with, that did not help my marriage whatsoever. That's the other thing I'm trying to help others with is, you know, the you know, you have loved ones, you know, you're married. A lot of times, the stuff I've done research on married couples, a lot of times the significant other is turned off, literally like a TV, and the other person's taken, and the other person has no knowledge whatsoever of it, or they're both taken, and, you know, the other is just literally doesn't believe it. They don't want to believe it. You know, it's kind of like my mom. She, you know, it's just total denial. It didn't fit into their realm of reality. So, you know, you end up having relationship issues. You end up having, you know, the social aspects are just horrible. It's no fun. But, I remember that very well as far as getting stuck with the needle and how bad that hurt. That replaying that every time makes me cringe pretty hard. But
all right, so Mike's website is alienabductee.org, and if you want to join in there, you're more than welcome to. If you are an abductee and you're trying to figure things out, that's a great place to go as well. And, you know, we'll continue our regressions. We've done, how many have we done, Mike? Five or six,
yeah.
Yeah, and not every one we can play over the air because some of them involve sensitive information, but we will continue to play some of them as time goes on. We'll sprinkle them here and there because I think they're fascinating, and a lot of people think they're fascinating. We've gotten some good feedback, and if you like it, let us know. And also, don't forget to rate the show if you'd be so kind. And if you are an abductee, and if you're in the Florida area, contact us if you would like to explore it a little bit, even with regressions. I know there
things will be handled in absolute confidentiality and, you know, with complete discretion as well.
So there's, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, Sharon brought up an interesting question. You'd mentioned May. The files I have on file, as far as what Doug's given me, I know our dates don't match. So somewhere in there, there's maybe a problem in the file name. I don't know. But, July 14th, as far as the regression is concerned, is what I remember. So.
Well, I thought you'd mentioned May 14th. Was I mistaken on that?
Yeah, it was July 14th.
Okay. I must have been mistaken. That's that 50-year-old thing coming up tomorrow.
There you go. It's all downhill from here, Doug. It's all downhill.
You're so encouraging, Grant.
It's a luge ride downhill.
God, with friends.
Just trying to be encouraging.
Sharon asked, could Doug give a hypnotic suggestion to ask or do something when this happens?
I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be all of a sudden, I'll burst into some spontaneous dance on Main Street someplace and make a fool of myself.
Well, actually, Doug and I have
post-hypnotic suggestion in my mind.
Actually, I have discussed with Doug and doing what Daryl Sims did with one of his subjects, but we really haven't. I don't know that Doug hadn't implanted something as far as me doing something to whatever, you know, when I get abducted. So
I tell you, Daryl, you know what they say.
Well, I know, but it won't work. You know, that's the thing. That's the bad part of it is in Daryl Sims will back me up on this. Anything that I do have in my mind in the forefront of my consciousness is just pretty much game for them. They can literally read your mind. Anything you have is theirs. I mean, it's literally you're an open book as far as they're concerned. And
that's really right. Kind of voyeuristic, don't you think, Mike?
Well, no. Well, it goes back to what I was talking about. You know, in one of my articles, I was talking about, you know, how do you get evidence, right? Well, you know, you can put video cameras. I've got multiple webcams. I've got IP cams, all kinds of stuff. And to be honest with you, I have yet to see anything show up on those.
All right, we have a call in. Let's take that. Hi, welcome to Paranexus Universe. What's your name?
My name is Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas. Welcome.
I'm guessing your guest was an abductee?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just joined the show. So
sure. It's Mike. Mike is the abductee. Do you have a question for him?
Yeah, Mike. Do you have memories of what they looked like? The ones that have
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they are. The ones I've seen are ash and white, actually, in color. The term gray, I've never understood where that came from myself. That's just a Whitley Strieber type thing that's been coined over the years. I've actually drawn pictures. I've got them posted on my site. They do. They actually, Whitley Strieber's rendition of it is kind of skewed from what I remember. But, you know, there again, you're getting into the issue that they control what you're perceiving so much. I don't know that that's actually what they look like. That actually may be a mask of what's really there, you know.
Okay, because if ash and white, you say, if you see them from a distance or if they ran past you quick, I guess you could mistake them for gray.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
They have large eyes.
It's almond shape, yeah.
Yeah, and their heads are oddly shaped.
Well, it's almost like I'll put it this way, it's like looking at a human fetus that's actually 4 foot tall.
Okay.
The head
is. All right. And their bodies are diminutive compared to the size of their head.
Correct. That, it looks like they maybe weighed 90 pounds at most, soaking wet.
All right. Have you had any telepathic experiences with these entities?
As far as them talking to me,
mind scans.
Yeah, well, the mind scan thing is one issue. You know, they'll literally get within, you know, a couple of inches of your face, and they literally lock you down and start going through everybody your memories, you know, whatever's going on at that moment, or actually pushing suggestions into your head. Instances where I was asking questions and wanting to know, you know, I was using my mouth to ask the questions, but the responses I was getting was literally in my thoughts, what I was hearing, and it was interesting.
Okay. I'm getting independent corroboration from you on what I've experienced. I'll say up front that I haven't been abducted, but I have experienced the telepathy.
Really?
Yes. And not just from the quote-unquote grays.
Wow.
There was another one that interfered with the conversation I was having with the gray and locked me down to...
Oh, wow.
In his words, hide me, is what he said. I was not allowed to hear anything with my mind for a time. And my mind was basically blank for about a month.
I understand. Yeah, I understand that. I have to go to my job every day, and that's one thing. Like, after this experience, I had to go to work. After the experience, I was pretty much, you know, I could function. I could go to work. But as far as just having any kind of logical thought, you know, like you try to figure something out, I couldn't do it. I mean, it was just – I was dumbfounded by everything. You know,
well,
it was just really stripped.
I've always used my senses in other ways. Or my mind out of the way since I was just out of teenagehood. I've been able to do things that Reiki people have done, other psychics have done. I've done those kind of things, and I've done it for my own self-improvement. So having my gifts that I've learned how to use turned off for a month was rather distressing.
Oh, I can imagine.
I would say so.
Now, the one that interfered with the gray looked more like a human. I mean, tan skin, black hair. But what struck me as odd is when he presented himself to me in my mind, he had six fingers and six toes.
Hmm. Oh, odd.
That's all.
So he looked basically like us, but he had an extra finger and an extra toe on each appendage. And
how tall was he?
I want to say he was close to 7 feet tall. But he cut off anything I could do with my mind for a month while he, quote-unquote, hid me from the grays.
Well, you should contact Mike. If you're in the chat room, Michael puts his email address in there. And you can go to alienabductee.org and contact him as well. But we appreciate that. Interesting stuff. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. I'll email you, Mike.
Okay.
And relate some of my experiences to you.
Great, man. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, caller. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care, Thomas. Bye-bye. All right. So, Sharon was talking about Nephilim in the chat room, and that's the thing that crossed my mind. So, interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
Today we put out the newsletter, of course, and it had a story by Bobby Morrison, an abductee, and he discussed how he is strapping himself in at night with a configuration of strapping that he's worked out, and promises to talk about that in another newsletter. But that's something Mike and I had talked about earlier today.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely have to email him and talk to him about it.
Yeah, interesting concept. So we're getting down to the last couple of minutes or so. If you have a last-minute question, please post it now. We appreciate everybody's time and attention. This is a fascinating subject, and as we get some more regressions done, we'll have some of these on from time to time. So any closing thoughts, Mike?
One thing I do want to mention here is Doug and I are going to go back and investigate some other instances. I've had instances with other people. I'm currently still trying to find a couple of these other people, so I have corroborating testimony on this stuff. Both of them are abductees also, and the thing of it is, if I can get a hold of them, we'll have more information, and hopefully by now they've come to terms with it like I have, I hope. So,
have you gotten any good out of this whole experience that you know of?
The only good I have actually seen out of the entire experience is the mind awakening thing. I mean, you expand your awareness like you would not believe in dealing with this. It opens up a lot of doors that wasn't there previously, I have a lot more respect for other people and why they react the way they do, because I actually had to do a lot of self-searching myself, just to understand why I was acting the way I was. So, I have a lot more appreciation for humanity and the planet, actually, and understanding we're not alone.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on tonight, Mike, as always. Appreciate all the work you do for Paranexus. And thanks for taking the time, man. And
no problem.
And just a couple FYIs, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is the one-year anniversary for Paranexus as well as Paranexus Universe Radio. So we're happy about that. We've come a long way in 1 year, and we're expecting to go even further. And so if you're not a member of Paranexus, we'd love to have you. Just go to paranexus.org. You can join free in the forum. If you want to actually join Paranexus, then it's only $20 a year, and we've got training. We've just added a number of different things. For example, in the gallery, if you are a certified or non-certified Paranexus member, you have access to the conference videos and audios from last October. We're also just put up on paranexusacademy.org a free introduction to paranormal research. If you're interested in that, you can take that for free. It's a great precursor to the CPI program or the leadership program that's on Paranexus as well. And so come and take a look, and we appreciate everybody's time tonight. We had a lot of good questions and a lot of folks joining us. Thanks so much for your time and many of you who keep coming back week after week.
Yeah, we really appreciate you. And if you're a listener out there and you've actually had an abduction experience and you're struggling with it, realize that you can contact Mike, or you can contact us at Paranexus, and we're here to listen to what has happened and see if there's something we can do to help you out.
Absolutely, the door's open on my end, guys. So anybody that needs any kind of you just want to talk to me. The door's open. I have no
problem.
Yeah,
you're not alone. You are not alone, and you've got friends.
Down in the last few seconds, folks, we appreciate everything. And next week we've got Mary Zimmer from MUFON, Florida, with us. So join us next week.
Yeah, another abduction show.
Take care, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
It's Paranexus Universe.